the learnings from this particular commentary in one chart or something. It can be a collective project. You can do it. So that will be your exam for your for this particular chapter. So everyone contribute. Everyone come together. So each one take one section or what, however you may want to do. But everyone's contribution should be there, but it should result in one single product. It need not be one, if you cannot capture the whole thing in one chart, no problem. You think of some innovative ways. It need not be a chart also. But it should not be so verbose as the commentary, but how you would present it in a way that points are covered, but at the same time for those who have already read the commentary, it gives a very quick recap of what we have read, because it's a very landmark commentary. The whole Nama Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, some of the very important aspects are explained in detail actually. Because these are acharyas who write just one line purports, that's all. So you think about it and you have time till next month when we meet. If before that also, if you manage to do it, then you can email it to me. What do you say? So that will be your collective this chapter exam. Okay, let's continue. Those offenders who accept a Vaishnava guru by Vaishnava initiation, take shelter of bhakti purely, or at least as a primary process, but it may be mixed also, and then worship the Lord by chanting, are called as Vaishnavas. Those offenders who may still commit the Vaishnava nama parad, but they may accept either the pure seed or mixed seed, but with bhakti in predominance. According to the degree of bhakti, they attain destruction of offenses, and according to the degree of Bhakti Devi's mercy, they attain the principal result of bhakti, which is prema. I don't know. She is the bestower of bhakti. Some people say that it is Radharani only. Some people say that no, this is different. But I don't know really who exactly it is. Some people say it's Tulsi Maharani. So I don't know, because they say Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani like that. But is it the same or not? I don't know. So correct. I mean, that's what it could be. Either Bhakti Devi could be either Radharani, or it could be Tulsi Maharani, or it could be a whole third personality. I'm not very sure, but I have heard all three types of explanations. It is Radharani only. It is Tulsi Maharani only. Or it is no. Tulsi Maharani is there. Radharani is there, and Bhakti Devi is also there, like that. It must be ultimately an expansion of Radharani only, I think. It must be Radharani herself. I don't know. According to the degree of bhakti, they attain destruction of offenses. And according to the degree of Bhakti Devi's mercy, they attain the principal result of bhakti, prema. this project is not an easy project, because if you have to condense and summarize something, you need to really understand, read, understand the points, understand what are the essential points and what are the supporting points, and extract the essential points and present. So it will take some time. Don't do a quick job. You know, it should be, you invest sufficient time to do this. This project is much more difficult than your chapter exam. But because all of you will be engaged in this one project, you decide how you want to. You can have one coordinator who will coordinate, or you can have 2-3 coordinators who will come together and decide how do you divide the project, on what basis, and accordingly. It can be like a flow chart, whatever you decide. That's what I'm saying. Of course, we have been doing it for the last 2 hours and 45 minutes, almost 3 hours, and still we are about 50% done. The Lord Himself says, Yata yatatma parimrujyate sau mat punyagata shravanabhidanehi tadatatapashyati vastu sukshmam chakshur yataivanjana samprayuktam. To the degree that the Atma becomes purified by hearing and chanting my glories, a person is able to perceive my real form and qualities and experience their sweetness, just as the eye, when smeared with special ointment, is able to see finer objects. So, bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra chaisha trikayeka kala prapadya manasya yatashnatasya stushti pushti shudapayo nugasam. So, where the extent of purification, to that extent bhakti, to the extent of bhakti, pareshanubhavo and virakti is to that proportion, like that. Shrinvatam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantastohi abhadrani vidunoti surutsatam. So the practice of bhakti, how Krishna, who purified the process by the process of hearing and chanting, who is the benefactor of the devotees who hear about him, enters the hearts of the devotees and destroys their sins. By these statements it is understood that those persons gradually ascend through the 14 stages of bhakti. Yaar hai? 14 stages. Jo first canto mein bola, abhi 6th canto mein he is. So that is why, ideally, the means of studying these commentaries is if you study from first canto onwards. Because many of their terminologies, the ways they write, the writing styles, certain essential concepts which they describe in the first time only, and then eventually they will keep on, you know, quoting it. So we will not get a full-fledged, wholesome understanding without, and in fact Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions I forgot the context, but he says that proper sambandha jnana you cannot get by reading little bit of too many books. He says you will not get any proper understanding. He says you should read one book cover to cover. That's what he recommends. Study one book cover to cover, rather than I will read the reference from here, what Jiva Goswami says about this. Jiva Goswami has definitely told something, but in that particular commentary he may be using terminologies which he has defined in the first canto only. You are directly referring to his commentary in the 6th canto. We may not get a wholesome understanding at all. So this is not the right procedure. So like that. By these statements it is understood that those persons gradually ascend through the 14 stages of bhakti. Krameinaiva praliyeta vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. Yes. Who has the mic? Starting from first canto onwards, right? Yeah.
This is not have relevance with what why Prabhupada used to say. Prabhupada used to say for that this can be the one more reason. But Prabhupada generally used to say.
Say what?
That.
Prabhupada used to say.
Read from first canto.
Read from first canto. Correct. This is another reason. But also, you know, the Bhagavatam itself presents, is presented in such a way that it leads to gradual purification. That is another reason. In these cases, faith and other steps are prescribed. Faith and the other steps means mahat kripa, mahat seva, and agyat sukriti, and shraddha, and sadhu sangha, then bhajaneshu spriha, then bhajana kriya, then anartha navritti, then nishta, then ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, like that. And in this chapter also it is said, gunanu vada kalusatva bhavana, in one of the later verses. Chanting the Lord's glories is the process for purification. When all their offenses are gradually destroyed and they attain the Lord, they are liberated from this world. Pure devotees. However, for those without offense, attainment of the Lord is quick, because offenses are obstacles. If the 100 meters world record holder has to cover those 100 meters with hurdles, can he cover it at the same time? He cannot. However, for those without offense, attainment of the Lord is quick. Such persons have two stages, chanting the Lord's name and attaining Vaikuntha. Such is the case of Ajamil. So 14 is for? 14 is for those who are committing offenses. For those who are not committing any offense, there are only two stages, chanting the Lord's name, attending Vaikuntha. Such is the case of Ajamil. Oh my God. Navasudeva bhaktanam ashubham vidyate kvachit janma mrittu jara vyadi bhavam vapyupajayate. This is a verse from Mahabharata. The devotees of Vasudeva have no misfortune at all. They surpass birth, death, old age and disease. Swadharmanishta shata janma bippuman virinchitameti tataparam himam avyakritam bhagavatota vaishnavam padam yataham vibhuda kalatyaye. Which section? This numbering is wrong. This is my guess. Can you check? Put Swadharma Nishta Swachata Janma Vipuan. This must be 424 only. I thought you would know this verse. This is Rudra Geet. Huh? What is the verse number? 424? 424-29. This is wrong. Because this is in Rudra Geet. A person fixed in dharma attains the post of Brahma after 100 births, and by more pious acts a person attains me. This is me is Rudra. But the devotee attains the abode of Vaikuntha after leaving the body, just as I in another form reside there, and the devatas who are qualified go there after destroying their subtle bodies. What is the context in which this verse is quoted? Why is this verse quoted here? chanting the name and entering Vaikuntha. Correct. However, some devotees without offense who desire to attain a special prema are delayed in attaining the Lord. For instance, Jadabharat took 3 lives to attain the Lord. Among those devotees having offensive, if some, because of not worshipping the Lord properly, do not destroy previous sins and continue to sin and to be offenders, they do not go to the hell after leaving the body. Even though the sinful tendencies are not gone, so if they commit sin, they will not go to hell for that. Lord Yamaraj says, Swapurusham abhiviksha pashahastam vadati yama kilatasya karna mule parihara madhusudana prapannan prabhur aham anyananam na vaishnavanam. This is of course I think from some other book, does not say which one. Next is from Bhagavatam. Swapurusham abhiviksha, seeing his yamadutas pashahastam, who were holding Yamapash in their hands, vadati yamaha, Yama spoke, tasya karna mole, in their ears, parihara Madhusudana prapannan, give up, don't arrest those who are surrendered to Madhusudan, prabhu raham, he is my master, andyananam, you may catch other people, na vaishnavanam, not vaishnavas. Maybe it could refer to beyond prema, pranaya, those things. I don't know. Maybe. Then he also says, Yamaraj says, Te deva siddha parigita pavitra gata ye sadavo samadrisho bhagavat prapanna tanno pasadita harer gadaya biguptan naisham vayam nachavaya prabhavamadande. Do not approach those who have surrendered to the Lord, who see everything equally, who have proper conduct, and who are praised with pure narrations by the devatas and siddhas, since they are protected by the club of the Lord. We, including Brahma and even time, do not have the power to punish them. Paribhuta kala jala biyah. No. Bhakta makaran ashilita mukti nadikan namasyam. The servants of Yama say, so this is from Padma Puran, Prahasman Yamuna Bhrata Sadaram hi punapuna Bhavadbir Vaishnavas Tyajya. Yama repeatedly has told us with care, you must leave the Vaishnavas, which means this episode must have happened before. This episode means current episode we are discussing must have happened before this happened, or maybe these were different. Yamadutas. All these are eternal. Moreover, the Lord Himself says, Nahi angopakrame dvamsho madharmasya uddhavanu api maya vyavasita samyak nirgunatvat anashishah. O Uddhava, because I have personally established it, this process of nishkama bhakti is beyond the gunas. Even by starting and not completing the process, there is no destruction of results. Thus, since even the Proud of bhakti is imperishable, unaffected by sin, and always productive. A person will definitely take birth only in order that bhakti bears leaves and fruit in the future, and not because of temporary sin and piety. So will devotees have rebirth? Will devotees have rebirth?
Yes.
Let's see who gives the most appropriate answer.
Better birth.
Does okay. Does devotees have rebirth? They may not. Even if they do, it is not decided by their karma. That is the complete answer. If they do, then it is for completing their bhakti to achieve prema. Na karma bandhanam janma vaishnavanam cha vidyate. The worshippers of Vishnu do not have birth due to karma. Thus, after the destruction of sin and offenses by chanting the name which is caused by impressions of previous bhakti, persons attain the Lord by the mercy of Bhakti Devi. So, the moment they take up to bhakti, sins are gone. Then the moment their offenses are gone, at the end of that life they go back. Navai jano jato katanchana vrajen mukunda sevyanya vadanga samsritim smaran mukundan viupaguhanam punar vihatu mitche narasagraho jana. Oh, the person who serves Mukunda will never under any condition return to the material world, unlike the practitioners of other processes. He will not return to the material world like the others, but he may return to the material world to complete his bhakti under the being facilitated by the Supreme Lord. He will not come back to this material world to do bhogena punyam kushalena papam, not to spend his karma. Remembering the embrace of the Lord's lotus feet, eager for that taste he has experienced, he will not desire to give up those feet again. Vihatu michen na rasagraho jana. In the above verse, anyavat, like others, means like those practicing karma. They will come back being forced by their karma. The devotee will not attain the world of piety and sin, but will accept the world of happiness and distress given by the Lord. How many times has this point been repeated again and again? The personified Vedas, they say, what is the tune? Shri Nandan Prabhu, can you sing this shloka? Tvadavaggamina veti bhavadutta shubha shubhayor guna viguna vayam starhi deha brutam chagiraha. You got it. Okay, sing.
Tvadavagamina veti bhavadutta subha subhayor guna vigunanya. Deha burutam chagriha. Anujugaman. No, not exactly.
Okay, let's see the translation. When a person realizes you, He no longer cares about his good and bad fortune arising from his past pious and sinful acts, since it is you alone who control this good and bad fortune. Such a realized devotee also disregards what ordinary living beings say about him. Every day he fills his ears with your glories, which are recited in each age by the unbroken succession of Manu's descendants, and thus you become his ultimate salvation. Those who have not destroyed offenses to the name will continue to experience the undestroyed effects of sin. Okay. When, let's go ahead. This is, consider it as a comma. The statement is not yet over. When, by increase of bhakti, by practicing it, the offenses to the name will be destroyed, the root of the sin will also be destroyed, and the person will immediately attain the Lord. Meaning, when he is performing offensive devotional service, the root of the sin, the sinful vasanas, they will not be destroyed, and sinful desires. But by increase of bhakti, bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra chesha trika eka kala. Virakti also increases in proportion to the bhakti. So therefore, at that time the root of the sin will also be destroyed. And then the person will attain the Lord. But then, in order to increase the bhakti, the devotees may even take 1, 2, or 3 lifetimes to attain the Lord. The material happiness seen in those devotees arises from the practice of bhakti. It is not karma. As Rupa Goswami says, practice of bhakti gives 3 types of happiness. Starting with vaishayikam, material happiness, and when the person progresses and reaches the stage of later stages of nishtha, ruchi, etc., brahmam, the bliss equivalent to bliss of liberation, and when he reaches bhava prema, aishwaram, a bliss that is much superior to the bliss of liberation, the bliss of experiencing a relationship with Krishna. Therefore it is said, dharmasya hyapavargasya नार्थो अर्थायोपकल्पते नार्थस्य धर्मैकान्तस्य कामो लाभाय हि स्मृतः. The material results are not suitable as the goal for the persons dedicated to higher spiritual goals. The desire of the person dedicated to higher path is not for attainment of material assets. Which means, what is the dharma he is following? Bhakti. So, kama also is a product of bhakti. But that kama should not be used for personal gratification. Or artha can come out of bhakti, but that artha should not be used for kama. Kama means one gets vaishayika sukha also, na?
Vaishayikam.
Yeah.
That will come up to which stage, or it have, well, at very beginning it will come just to encourage.
Beginning to encourage.
So as person,
it will keep on increasing.
It will keep on increasing also.
The level of happiness one experience, not necessarily through the experience of satisfaction, will keep on increasing.
Satisfaction.
Yeah. But in the initial stage, it may also come in the form of vaishayika sukha. Yeah. He may got Apple laptop. What do you call it? MacBook.
You said air tickets.
Air tickets, MacBook. The suffering seen in those devotees are given by the Lord, who is skillful at increasing the devotion of his devotee, and who is like a doctor who makes a person fast and gives bitter medicine for increasing his appetite. Yasyaham anugrinami harishyeta dhanam shanaihi tato adhanam chajantyasya svajana dukkha dukkitam. If I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. Among the 10 offenses, the very strong effects of interpreting the name, thinking its glories are exaggeration, and equating it to pious acts are obstacles to being a Vaishnava. Among the other offenses, two are very strong. Vaishnava Parad and seventh, committing sin on the strength of the holy name. Those two are particularly described in a frightening way. Yatakyatim yatam katam usahate tat vigarham. Padma Puran says, how can the name tolerate criticism of those who spread the name? Namno baladyasya hi papa buddhi na vidyate tasya yamair hi shuddhi. For a person who commits sin on the strength of the chanting, there is no purification by the servants of Yama. There is no other means of destroying the effects of these two offenses than to continually chant the name while suffering appropriately for the offense.
First and seventh.
The effects of the other offenses will be destroyed simply by continual chanting without the suffering. So of that 10, he says, serious offenses are 5th, 6th and 8th. Okay? And one should be very careful to avoid. And 1st and 7th are really serious. So, if you commit it, then you have to continuously chant while suffering the reactions. So, apart then, I mean, 1st means it includes 3rd also. So, rest of the offenses, if you continually chant, it destroys. Second,
fourth.
Okay, fourth, okay, sixth, sorry, sixth, seventh,
ninth and tenth,
ninth and tenth, like that. Some people make the following proposition, okay, again Purvapaksha. Those offenders of the name who are without karma and jnana and practicing bhakti with hearing and chanting but have not taken initiation because they have not surrendered to the feet of the Guru are still called Vaishnavas. The word Vaishnava is defined as the person who takes Vishnu as his object of worship according to Panini Sutras. Thus, Vaishnavas are those who have made Vishnu the object of worship by accepting initiation, and also those who make Vishnu the object of worship simply by worship, since there is no other word to describe the two types of people. So the latter type of persons also should not fall to hell. You understand the proposition that they are making? One should not, so they may say that Vishnu, Vaishnava means what? One who worships Vishnu. Agar unko initiation hai ya nahi hai, वो डिफाइन किया है कि उसमें नहीं. सो वेदर अगर उनको दीक्षा हुआ या ना हुआ वो वैष्णवी है फिर, तो मतलब वो हेल नहीं जाना चाहिए फिर. दिस हाउएवर इज नॉट करेक्ट बिकॉज वन कैन नॉट अटेन द लॉर्ड इजिली विदाउट गुरु. So here, when you think of initiation, don't think about the actual process of initiation. When we think of initiation, think of initiation as being acceptance of a guru. Diksha, siksha. If one thinks that I don't need a guru, but still performing devotional service, then such kind of devotional service will not save him from hell. Because in bhakti, the first 20 limbs are non-negotiable limbs. So first limb itself is Adav Guru Padashraya, is the most non-negotiable limb. Then Vishrambena Guru or Seva, Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam, Saddharma Pritcha, Sadhu Marganu Gamanam. Like that, all of them are in relationship to the Guru only. So therefore, one should not think, if one thinks I don't need a Guru, then that is a problem. But if for some reason the actual process of initiation is getting delayed, that is okay, even though if he has within his heart accepted a Guru. But if the problem is with those people who think I don't need a Guru, I am worshipping the Supreme Lord, that is sufficient. That's where the problem is. Mridehamadyam sulabam sudurlabam plavam sukalpam guru karnadaram mayanukulena nabasvateritam puman bhavabdim nataretsa atmaha. Mrideham adyam. This human body, sulabam is sulabam sudurlabam. It is sudurlabam, it is very rarely attained, but sulabam, but sometimes easily attained by good fortune. Plavam sukalpam, it is a very nicely crafted boat. Guru karnadaram, the captain of that boat is Guru. Maya anukulena nabasvateritam. And this boat is, it moves by the favorable winds of my scriptures. Okay? Or here it says, pushed by the favorable wind of serving me. Puman bhavabdhim nataretsa atmaha. One who does not accept these things, by not accepting these, if he does not cross the ocean of material existence, he is an atmaha, killer of his own soul. What is the focus of this verse? Guru Karnadaram. Therefore, it should be explained that there is no other way of attaining the Lord than by becoming a devotee who has surrendered to the feet of a Guru who will be attained in another birth by the power of worship. So, is it clear? So, another Purva Paksha that was presented. What is the need for Guru? So, मैं विष्णु वर्षिप ही कर रहा हूं, तो जो विष्णु को वर्षिप कर रहा है वो वैष्णव है, सही है. अब विष्णु वर्षिप कर रहे हैं, पर विष्णु वर्षिप करने के लिए द फर्स्ट एलिमेंट ऑफ विष्णु वर्षिप इज गुरु पदाश्रय, वो आप एक्सेप्ट नहीं कर रहे हैं. आपने सच्चा एग्जाम लिखा है पर हॉल टिकट नहीं है, तो मतलब नॉट पॉसिबल. They are called the door to bhakti. You will not be allowed to enter into the examination hall only. But they may say, but it is seen that Ajamil without surrendering to Guru easily attained the Lord. What about that? This can be explained as follows. Those who, like cows or asses, make their sense, pursue sense objects, cannot know the Lord, bhakti or guru even in their dreams. But in the case of Ajamil, they can be delivered even without guru by chanting the name in Namabhas without offense. Though it has been definitely ascertained that the Lord should be worshipped, that worship is the means of attaining Him, that the Guru is the person who teaches about worship, and that those who are devotees attain the Lord, it is also said, No Diksham Nacha Satkriyam Nacha Purascharyam Manag Ikshate Mantroyam Rasana Sprit Eva Falati Sri Krishna Namatmakaha. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the Purascharya, regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient. The holy name does not wait, but the person himself should not feel it is not necessary. There is a difference in the two. The person, if he feels, I don't need a guru, I don't need an initiation, holy name will deliver me. Definitely holy name will not deliver, because you are committing the third offense. So how will the holy name respond? So which means, if without accepting a guru, how will you avoid the third offense? And without avoiding the third offense, how will you attain prema by chanting the holy name? So it is not possible. As well, we have the example of Ajamil. But one who thinks, you see, he is addressing the same point. So for those who don't have that facility, holy name itself will deliver. As long as he does not have that unfavorable attitude. But one who thinks, what is the benefit of taking the trouble to accept a guru? I will attain the Lord just by chanting the name. If one thinks like that, he will not attain the Lord because of the offense of offending the guru. Third offense. Same thing. Same point. So which means one cannot, the holy name is capable, but you are committing offense. So the holy name is not obliged. Holy name does not need initiation and purascharya. But if you think you don't need, then there is a problem. However, in this life or another life, if he surrenders to the feet of Guru after having destroyed his offense, he will then attain the Lord. Some say that persons who worship devatas should be treated like the karmis with sin and offense. Others say that Bhakti Devi places them in an even lower category because they do not have general surrender. Therefore, thus it is said, Yepyanya Devata Bhakta Yajante Shraddhayanvita Tepi Mameva Konteya Yajante Avidipurvakam. Those who are devoted to other gods and with faith worship them, they also worship me, but by the wrong method, O son of Kunti. But for those who are simply offenders, there is no deliverance at all. It is said, Tanaham Dvishatakruran Samsareshu Naradaman Shipam Yajasarma Shuban Asuri Shveva Yonishu. So again here, it seems like there is a gradation that is presented. Those who do not accept any authority, they are put under a lower category. And those who are demigod worshippers are put under still higher category. We are mentioning that Tepi Mameva Konteya Ejanti Avidipurvakam. They are also worshipping me in the wrong way, but the others don't worship me at all. I cast them into hell life after life. But some persons also say that these offenders' offenses are destroyed by absorption in the Lord. Since it is said, Kama dveshat bayat snehat yata bhaktyeshvare manaha aveshya tadagam hitva bahavas tadgatim gataha. Some people say that, oh, if they are hatefully absorbed in the Lord, that will also deliver them. Avesha tadagam hitva bahavas tadgatim gataha. Many persons have attained suitable forms after absorbing their minds in the Lord out of lust, hatred, fear and family relationships filled with affection, and after giving up absorption in enmity of the Lord in the case of hatred and fear. This idea is represented in verses such as the following. Nama parada yuktanam namanyeva harantyagam avishranti prayuktani tanyevartha karanicha. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with offenses, one will become free from such offenses by chanting again and again, says Padma Puran. Others say that absorption means repeated meditation. Others say that there is no absolute rule when Krishna appears in the world. Thus some persons, without being absorbed in the Lord, but simply by being killed by the Lord, such as Narakasura, Banasura, and the troops of the Kauravas, and others, simply by the influence of seeing the Lord, attend the Lord. This was previously mentioned in the Bhagavatam. He says, na? Yamiha niriksha hatagata swarupam. Bhishmadev's prayer. Yamiha niriksha hatagata swarupam. We have come to the end. Oh. Yes. Okay, that brings us finally, after 3.5 hours, we have come to the end of this explanation of Ajamil. Summary? You will summarize. Okay? So, it is quite a comprehensive presentation actually. This is like, in Vedic times, their PhD paper will be only about 20-25 pages, because every word is a, every line is a sutra actually. And it is meant for not people of common people, those who have already studied everything. Just like if you read a PhD thesis, you will not understand. It is meant for a particular class of audience. It is not, you cannot publish a PhD thesis in Indian Express. It's not meant for that audience at all. So this is quite comprehensive. So of course, lot of things we have discussed. To summarize, it will again take us at least 1 hour to summarize the whole thing. So let's move ahead. Yes. Little what? 10 minutes. Muktikesh Prabhu will do it. Okay, let's do one thing. One thing we will do. How many have taken, even if not comprehensive notes, at least some notes? Who has taken? One, two, something really? Or in mind notes? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So each one of you share, let's do one round. Each one of you share one point. Then we will do a second round. Then we will do a third round. And if you still have points, we will do a fourth round. So in that about 10-15 minutes will go. Okay? Let's start with Hari Bhakti Prabhu.
It will be sequential.
Not necessarily. Whatever you remember, you share.
No repetition.
No repetition. Which means you have to hear what the other person is saying.
So it was said in the last line of the verse is that yad vishaya.
Yadastad vishaya mati.
The Lord remembered him when he chanted for one time. And what to speak of those who chant with service attitude repeatedly.
Among the group.
No, I don't first chanting the group on the fields.
Ajamil's first chanting removed all the sins.
And later chanting just added to his bhakti.
Correct. Yes.
So, Ajamila, he committed, as a Brahmana, he committed the 8th offense. So, he was performing only in joys to me, or So, he committed the 8th offense, and as long as the, and he was accompanied by the second day of the bhakti, but as soon as he did sinful activities, his status as a Brahmana went, and the second day element of bhakti also went along with him. But as soon as he chanted the holy name of
Narayan, after that
pure bhakti appeared.
Good. See Shambhu.
One of the points was pure, I mean the followers of pure devotion, should not consider the statements, the accommodative statements of the scriptures as authoritative for ourselves.
Correct. Point and then go. Okay, next round you can share more. Without poisoned fangs. Correct. Other philosophies, Why don't you just, because you are doing it in order, keep passing the mic, because it is getting recorded. It would be nice. You have not committed.
So, we should not feel that the glories of the holy name mentioned in the Shastras as exaggeration. Then it will be offense, and then holy name will not reciprocate.
Correct.
Like that.
Okay. I mean, if you have not made notes, it's okay. You can pass.
Like chanting of the holy name destroys not just past sins but in future sins also. Then like whatever we see in case of like sins performed by person who is already practicing devotional service, so in his case the sinful reaction will not come back, but reaction will be like provided by Lord Krishna. Whatever is favorable for his bhakti to come closer for that aspiration of Krishna plan.
Correct. Yes, Jayad Vedku.
For one who has one who is committing offenses, so for him there are 14 stages. One who is not committing offenses, only 2 stages, chanting and Vaikuntha.
Okay, so now you start second round. Next point to make.
For one who is chanting the holy names of the Lord without offense, it destroys all the sins and it awards him eventually prema also. Like you gave the example of a person going to shopkeeper and he wants a milk. If he only asks milk, then Lord will give the best product. Shopkeeper is compared to Lord. So Lord will give him the best. But if he has some particular brand of milk, then Lord will give that. So it is compared to karma kanda or different processes, the results which he get by practicing the bhakti element in those practices. But if he wants, if he doesn't ask anything, then Lord will give the
highest. This is in relationship with to the point made by Ashari Gopal. What was the point? So when he committed sins, he lost his brahmanical status, so he was no longer practicing karma yoga or karma kanda. So therefore the secondary element of bhakti had also left. So therefore the next time he chanted the holy name actually Krishna took it as, okay, I will put it in the pure bhakti credit and not in the karmakanda credit. In that context, correct? Yeah, that is the context in which we discuss the example of milk. So these two are connected points. Yes, Adi Upal.
At this point, one should like understand what is my adhikar. Like we gave the example of like like food for life, prasadam.
Mm.
Brahmachari should not be going, but for him already something else is arranged. But for the outsiders, that prasadam is available. So, so you should understand what is your adhikar and then accordingly refer the.
So this was in the context of scriptures.
Scriptural.
So if some particular statements are there in scriptures, you should understand that, oh, it is not for me. That does not mean it is irrelevant for anyone, but definitely it is not for me.
No, even in case of like, you gave example of like, fifth standard boy, if he writes that light travels in a straight line, but a tenth standard boy, if you write the same thing, then you will not get the full marks.
Yeah.
That was the example we give for...
same point, for the same, point, yeah. Yes, Muktakesh Prabhu. Abhay Govind Prabhu, okay.
Credit of Ajamula that he didn't commit Arthavad.
Correct.
Because danger of Arthavad, it puts you in inferior than one who don't know the glory. Calls someone else having Lord's name.
Correct.
Holy name is capable to award, capable of awarding everything, but is not obliged to award. So it based on how our approach,
yeah,
how much we are free.
Yeah,
from
if we are offensive, yeah, it need not.
Sin did not leave Ajamila because Lord keeps that so that the other processes they don't get lose their faith.
Correct.
Because without faith, they will take to bhakti, and then they will lose both, and they may go to hell.
Correct.
Because of giving up their practice in which they have shraddha.
Correct. Correct.
So karma kanda.
Yes, Shiv Shambhu. You wrote a lot of notes. Okay, maybe third round you can share.
Yamaraj tells his followers that you should not catch the I am the master of the other men, but not the Vaishnavas. He calls it Dev Siddha Parigita Pavitra Gatha.
Correct.
These shlokas.
Parikshit Maharaj rejected the process of atonement, but when he spoke about bhakti, then that time he did not reject. So it is said that smarthas and karmakandis, they do that arthavad with holy name. But Parikshit Maharaj did not do that. And Ajamila did not do that. And it is also said that why holy name is not giving liberation immediately. So it is said that name shows its fruits after some time. So it, example was given of like, I think, Bharat Maharaj.
That is those who desire special prema, that is different.
But holy name shows its fruits after some time.
Yeah. Yes, Hari Bhakti.
There was one point that if holy name destroys all sins, then like no one should go to hell. So he replies that for karmis, jnanis and yogis, they may be committing the eighth offense, but there is an element of bhakti in that. So that element of bhakti, because they are doing it, so bhakti will be merciful and she will grant the destruction of the sin or whatever may be proportionate to their thing, or the atonement will happen. But if they commit first, fifth or sixth offense, then they will not be spared. Then they will get the result.
Okay. Third round.
Of the offenses, the first and second offense, they are the most dangerous, they are very strong. And the solution for them is to continue chanting while suffering for the offenses. And for
fourth, fifth and eighth, right? fifth, sixth, and
eighth
define a Vaishnava only. So if you don't have faith in them, you can't even be called a Vaishnava. So therefore, that in that sense, it is very serious. And the other offenses, if you just continually chant, you can remove.
And they won't accrue any suffering.
Correct.
And third is included in the first.
Correct. Now I'll go in through. You have anything? Okay. Ashray Gopal. Same thing. Okay. Shiv Shambhu.
I don't know whether it was said or what, but like the there was a discussion in which it was said that how it is important for us to like pratyaksha praman and anuman praman should be in support of our bhakti literatures. If it is if pratyaksha praman is not supporting and going against the bhakti literatures, then that could lead to an offense to towards the eighth offense.
No, if you are explaining your pratyaksha praman in a way that does not that directly contradicts the conclusions of the bhakti scriptures, then it is not correct.
Then it is not correct.
No. Yeah.
I don't know, that is covered. For those who are karmis, jnanis, and yogis, if they are chanting, means three possible things. Like one, if they are committing eighth offense, only eighth offense, then they will get proper result as per the proportion of the chanting, a proportion of the practice of their process. And if they are committing 8, 5, 6 offenses, then they will get no result. Means they will, and if that also gone, then they will become devotees. If 8 offenses also gone,
then
they will become devotees.
Yeah.
And that Ajamil, he was involved in karma before, the bhakti was secondary. So then, when he was involved in sinful activities, then
that is covered. Fifth, sixth, and eighth defines a Vaishnava, because if you don't, if you are committing fifth, sixth, and eighth, then it, I mean, for that matter, even second, I would say. Second offense, if you think that the
Lord and demigods are the same.
But definitely, fifth, sixth, and eighth define although your basic Vaishnava understanding. And the most serious are first and seventh, and of course third also.
Then the second most serious offenses, first.
Not second most. First, these 8, 5, and 6
define
a Vaishnava.
The vision.
Yeah. And first and seventh are most serious. Even though if you have committed it, you have to continuously chant while suffering the result of those offenses. And the rest of the offenses you can offset by continuously chanting. Middle attachments. It will slow down.
That same point, like pratyaksha should match with scripture, and also if it is not matching, we have to check what is the deeper meaning of that scriptural injunction through our acharyas, what acharyas are writing, and whether I am doing some mistake when following.
Yeah,
that should be focus rather than.
See, in between we discussed one point of like not directly jumping, we should be reading cover to cover, like the 14 stages. Just, he just mentioned the name for 14 stages, but in first canto he explained all what is that 14 stages. So we give example of like for some particular shloka, if you directly refer Jiva Goswami, then he may speak some concepts, maybe in just word, one, two words in brief.
But for that, he must have explained something in like earlier canto chapters.
In the beginning, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Baldev Vidya Bhushan explains Parinishtita, Nirapeksha and Sanishta. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, he uses those terminologies. If you have not read the introduction, you won't understand anything. In fact, Baldev Vidya Bhushan explains the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is relevant to a Sanishta Bhakta or a Parinishtita Bhakta or a Nirapeksha Bhakta. That is Baldev Vidya Bhushan's unique presentation. And he defines Sanishta, Parinishtita and Nirapeksha in the introduction. That is how important it is to read from cover to cover, including introduction. If you have missed introduction, many of the important concepts you will not understand. Either this is for Sanishta Bhakta or this is a Parinishtita Bhakta. हम सोचेंगे सनिष्ठ भक्ता मतलब क्या है, शनि भगवान का भक्ता है क्या, क्या है? So like that we will not know, because these are defined in the introduction only. Hanoi preface.
Proper explanation.
Yeah. Yes, Jayadeep, you have something?
And so like we discussed about the chanting, for starting chanting, we don't need, chanting, holy name does not need the initiation, other things, but the practitioner should not think, I don't need Guru.
Good point. Jayadeep, anything else?
At this point of Guru, that someone may think, Ajamila, he did not have Guru. Mm. So, we saw clarification ki how, if one thinks that he doesn't need a guru, then that is offense.
Yeah. But otherwise, so the holy name is not dependent on purascharya and initiation rites and things like that. So, for him, it was there. But Ajamil himself did not think that he did not need a guru. Yeah. Okay. So, one last round. Whoever has further points, you can share.
And one point, that for the mix, for those who are, for Vaishnavas, those who are practicing bhakti as a primary element, even some may be mixed, but bhakti is a primary element, to the degree they practice bhakti, to that degree their offenses will get rid of. One point was there, that this 8 offense, so Bhakti Devi will award them accordingly.
Adi Gopal, do you have any further points?
Taken to Krishna consciousness practicing, he may not get the reactions of the saints, but they are arranged. Like one example we see, the birth. Devotee may take birth, but that is not due to karma. It is arranged by the Lord. So give the one example of doctor also comes.
Doctor?
A doctor specially gives some medicines for him to bring quickly to good health. One example is given that 10th canto, Prabhupada supports. Asyaha manugrunami hari shetat dhanamishnami.
Yeah. Muktikesh Prabhu, you have something? Rohinan.
Same. Happiness of bhakti is not by karma. It comes in 3 ways. Vaishyaikam,
Brahmam,
and Prema.
Aishwaram.
So, the same way suffering also, like he explained, it does not by karma.
Yeah.
It is to expedite the journey.
Correct. Anything? Shiv Shambhu, you have something?
I don't know whether this was discussed or what. The Lord gives the option for the conditioned souls to choose their path. So he doesn't
force
them to practice the path of pure devotion. So that's why the scriptures just doesn't give only about pure devotional service. There is other paths. Those who have Shraddha in those other paths, they can practice other paths.
Yeah.
But then the holy name acts as a secondary
element
in those paths.
This was in the context where it was asked that, you know, how this sin, the root of sin, impressions are destroyed.
Mm.
I think that, that the answer to that was this, I think. Correct? But he chanted it once also, and then the first time he chanted.
So one does not sin in his life. In the future also it was, like he was sinning.
I just wrote that Lord allows the chanter to continue his tendencies to sin, but all this is just like a bite of a snake without tooth.
Yeah.
So in that context only.
Taman Govinda, you have anything? Hari Bhakti Bro, you have anything? Okay. So in this way, we have fulfilled Tagesh Prabhu's desire. Okay. It's 355. Prabhupada supplementary. Okay, that we will read. Okay, what we will do is the supplementary reading. Each one of us will read one paragraph. Okay, yeah. I will start.
Where is that?
Page 138. End of the chapter. Okay, I will read the first paragraph, and then starting with Hari Bhakti Prabhu, you all can read one paragraph. Pass the mic, okay? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Thakur's commentary on to text 9 and 10 of this chapter form a dialogue concerning how one can become free from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord.
Someone may say, it may be accepted that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes freed from all the reactions of sinful life. However, if one commits sinful acts in full consciousness, not only once, but many, many times, he is unable to free himself from the reactions of such sins even after atoning for them for 12 years or more. How is it possible then that simply by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one immediately becomes freed from the reactions of such sins?
So he, this was mentioned that the 12 year atonements, many 12 year atonements it would need to nullify, you know, such grave sins. So just by once chanting the holy name, how it will give that complete atonement?
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur replies by quoting verses 9 and 10 of this chapter. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for one who indulges in sex with wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders woman, the king or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection.
Ashray Gopal.
One may atone for sinful life and vanquish all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name. Although this is not called atonement, ordinary atonement may temporarily protect a sinful person, but it does not completely cleanse his heart of the deep-rooted desire to commit sinful acts. Therefore, atonement is not as powerful as the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the Shastras, it is said that if a person only once chants the holy name and completely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord immediately considers him his ward and is always inclined to give him protection.
Yatastat Vishayamati.
This is confirmed by Sridhara Swami. Thus, when Ajamil was in great danger of being carried off by the order carriers of Yamraj, the Lord immediately sent his personal order carriers to protect him. And because Ajamila was freed from all sinful reactions, the Vishnu Dutas spoke on his behalf.
Ajamila had named his son Narayan, and because he loved the boy very much, he would call him again and again. although he was calling for his son, the name itself was powerful because the name Narayan is not different from the Supreme Lord Narayan. When Ajamila named his son Narayan, all the reactions of his sinful life were neutralized and he continued calling his son and thus chanting the holy name of Narayan thousands of times. He was actually unconsciously advancing in Krishna consciousness.
One may argue, since he was constantly chanting the name of Narayan, how was it possible for him to be associating with a prostitute and thinking of wine? By his sinful actions, he was bringing suffering upon himself again and again, and therefore one may say that his ultimate chanting of Narayan was the cause of his being freed. However, his chanting would then have been a nama aparad. Namno bala jasya bhi papa buddhi. One who continues to act sinfully and tries to neutralize his sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is a nama aparadhi, an offender to the holy name. In response, it may be said that Ajamila's chanting was inoffensive because he did not chant the name of Narayan with the purpose of counteracting his sins. He did not know that he was addicted to sinful actions, nor did he know that his chanting of the name of Narayan was neutralizing them. Thus, he did not commit a namaparad, and his repeated chanting of the holy name of Narayan while calling his son may be called pure chanting.
Or at least it was contributing to developing a pure faith. Not pure chanting in the sense of Shuddhanam, but pure chanting in the sense of it was not mixed with other material desires.
Because of this pure chanting, Ajamil unconsciously accumulated the results of bhakti. Indeed, even his first utterance of the holy name was sufficient to nullify all the sinful reactions of his life. To cite a logical example, a fig tree does not immediately yield fruits, but in time the fruits are available. Similarly, Ajamil's devotional service grew little by little, and therefore, although he committed very sinful acts, the reactions did not affect him. In the Shastras, it is said that if one chants the holy name of the Lord even once, the reactions of past, present or future sinful life do not affect him. To give another example, if one extracts the poison fangs of a serpent, this saves the serpent's future victims from poisonous effects, even if the serpent bites repeatedly. Similarly, if a devotee chants the holy name even once inoffensively, this protects him eternally. He need only wait for the results of the chanting to mature in due course of time.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so we will pause here, and tomorrow, after Maharaj's class,